There's this great misconception in life that all of us have at one time or another, and that is the misconception of judging a book by its cover and not what's inside. At times we all have all been guilty of looking at someone or something and giving some interpretation to it without knowing the facts. And one of the great misconceptions that people have in this world is the misconception that rich, successful people are happy people. We tend to think of a person has this limousine kind of life and they can shop anywhere and eat anywhere, it automatically means that they enjoy life. They could, but no matter who one is and no matter what one has, if God does not permit one to enjoy life, then life is this grievous evil. God is not the center of life. There cannot really be enjoyment of life. Without God, there will be no true happiness, no matter what one or who one has, and this is a grievous evil. You see, there's a common thing that is evil, a heavy evil that is common to man. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6 of Ecclesiastes. There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, and it lies heavy on mankind. So there's another evil that he saw under the sun. That word evil is one that means he's perceived this as a common misfortune, adversity. Now we may notice that this evil is prevalent among men. What this practically means that this evil is the customary norm. It's the customary norm for a person with wealth to be miserable when God is not the center of his life. This misery is not an exception among mankind. It's the norm. So look at it this way. It's not normal for a wealthy person to enjoy life. The prevalent norm for wealthy people is not to enjoy life. That's so sad. And the unenjoyable life is the spite of wealth. Look at verse 2. A man to whom God gives wealth, possessions, and honor, so that he lacks nothing at all that he desires, yet God does not give him the power to enjoy them. But a stranger enjoys them. And that's vanity. This is vanity. It is a grievous evil. So this acquisition of wealth is in no instance merely an outright achievement of man. And Solomon himself had everything listed there. He had wealth, possessions, honor. It's contextually evident in 2 Chronicles that there were times when the same God who gave these things to Solomon did not let him enjoy the things of life. And when Solomon was not right with God, he was miserable in spite of all his wealth and fame. And so God's the one who can prevent that. The text does not specifically say how God prevents a man from enjoying his wealth or possessions and honor. It may be a stranger comes on the scene and takes it. It may be God causes some physical or emotional instability that prevents one from enjoying what he has. It may be some personal enemy who gives so much grief that you couldn't enjoy that wealth. It's not stated how God prevents one from enjoying that wealth, but what is stated is that it's possible for one to have an abundance of everything and still not be happy. So the unenjoyable life is in spite of many children and old age. Look at verse 3 of chapter 6. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with life's good things, and he also has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. So having many children is no guarantee. Living to a ripe old age is no guarantee. One could have many children, live many years, have a meaningless existence. In fact, he could have such a meaningless existence that no one will show up to honor him or bury him at his own funeral. Proper burial is one in which a family and friends show up to mourn the loss of their loved one. And when David, Solomon's father, died, he died honorably. But some didn't even have a proper burial. It's precisely what happened to Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He was a dishonored king who did not receive a proper burial. Now, Solomon sets forth three reasons why this stillborn baby is better off than a miserable rich person. Because, first of all, there's no futility in life or name established. Look at verse 4. For it comes in vanity and goes in darkness, and in darkness its name is covered. So that stillborn baby never saw any difficulty or sensed any futility or emptiness to life. The stillborn baby never even earned a bad name or reputation for itself. Because there's more rest. Look at verse 5. Moreover, it has not seen the sun or known anything yet. It finds rest rather than he. That stillborn never sees the sun, never knows anything. It's better off. Literally in Hebrew means stillborn has more rest than the man who has wealth, many children, old age. A rich person can have many things, but one thing he cannot have in and of himself is peace and tranquility in the soul. Rest and peace are found in our relationship with God. Okay? Stillborn is at peace. The stillborn never has any conflict in life. And we see, as we look at this, that they don't have any knowledge of a sinful world. They don't have any choices that they would have a failure. And so even if a man lived 2,000 years on earth, if he couldn't enjoy life, the stillborn is much better off. And so some people live like that. Because you look at verse 6, it says, even though he should live 1,000 years, twice over, yet enjoy no good. Do not all go to the one place, because we all end up at the same place. The point is here that all people end up dying anyway. So if a person cannot enjoy life, it is better to have been stillborn. No matter who one is, no matter what one has, God does not permit one to enjoy life. Life is a grievous evil. And so let me ask you, is your life meaning? Do you have a meaningful existence there? Is God giving us the ability to enjoy life? Well, thank him. If not, maybe we need to check our relationship. And when our life is over, will it have been a God-honoring life that made a difference in the world? These are questions that we need to ask.